We're delighted to be here, and thank you for your invitation and your welcome, and thank you too for praying for us and for giving so that we can be serving the Lord in Quebec. And I want to share with you a little bit about that call. Kelsey sang, the title of that song was entitled The Call. And I want to share with you about a call that came to the Apostle Paul. And we've all probably had important calls that you've heard at one point or another. Perhaps with young children, you hear the call, "Mom, Dad, come help me." Perhaps on a construction site, you might hear the plea, "Hey, come help, hold this wall, support this wall." It's interesting because in the life of the Apostle Paul during his lifetime, he had a tremendous call that was given to him, a call to come and help. I want you to come with me, please, to Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10 specifically. We're going to read the first 10 verses. The first 10 verses of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, the first 10 verses. And, you know, as I contemplate on this Macedonian call and even the song that Kelsey sang, "The Laborers are Few," I think about Matthew 9, verse 37, which says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And over the next few minutes, I want to look at this Macedonian call and examine six aspects about the Macedonian call. But when I contemplate that, I also want you to consider, too, and prayerfully consider how the Lord might be calling you as well, whether it be for greater service, whether it be maybe the Lord is trying to call you into His service full time. Follow along, please, with me in Acts chapter 16 and the first 10 verses. The Bible tells us, "Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren and there that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be attentive to your word. I pray that you would teach us in your word today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. First, I want to look this morning at this Macedonian call. This Macedonian call is a call for help. It's a call for help. And you can see that in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. "Come over into Macedonia and help us." I find it interesting that in Macedonia, there were various cities of Macedonia and those in the cities who were genuinely searching for truth, searching for answers to important questions in life, when everywhere else they came away empty. You realize that that's true today too. There's many who are searching. There's many who have a hard time making sense of life. I've heard that over the last several years, the suicide rate has just exploded. In Canada, sadly, our government has adopted what they call, they've really made death be appealing, and they have adopted what they call, medical aid in induced death, or something like that, medical assisted induced death. You know, I find it sad how so many are turning to end their lives because they can't make sense of life, when with the Lord, He's the one that gives total sense to life. So many are searching for answers. Think too about a trip up to just in this context as well. And I find it interesting. We're going to look at this briefly, but some closed doors that the Apostle Paul had here in Acts chapter 16, where it says they essayed to go into Bithynia and the Spirit suffered them not. And it's interesting. Sometimes we believe the Lord is leading us in something and we attempt to do it. And sometimes we experience closed doors. Have you ever experienced closed doors in seeking to accomplish something you believe was the Lord's will? We experienced a closed door as a family. We were seeking to go up to a Francophone village up north, and we had taken off and we had flown for quite a while. And then as we were, actually I'd been with Montreal Center, the Air Traffic Control Center, and they released me. And then I was just on en route frequency. I said, I'm going to climb up above the clouds, because there was some of those nice, white, puffy summertime clouds, springtime clouds, it was early May. And they were starting to kind of billow up with the convective heating. And I was circumnavigating around to stay VFR. I said, I'm going to climb up above them, and we'll just be able to stay a nice, straight shot. So I was doing that. And I got up. I was just climbing through 6,200 feet. And my attitude indicator, we had an attitude issue, the attitude indicator toppled. And it showed the ground on top and the sky below. And I looked out the window and I said, nope, the sky is still above me. And then I realized, I looked over at my suction gauge and it was on zero. So I knew I'd had a vacuum pump failure. So I said, well, I won't look at my attitude indicator because it's struggling from a bad attitude. So that's just a little joke. But yes, it was toppled, so it was no longer trustworthy. And so we turned around. I called the Montreal Control Center and said that we were going to be turning around and going back to Trois-Rivières. And as a family, we said, Lord, why did you close the door? We wanted to go up to be able to witness to folks door to door as a family, and the door was closed. So we prayed and said, Lord, no, we trust you with this. Even though we don't understand, we had a beautiful day to do so. It's interesting. We waited for the part. I called for the part that very day. It came in on Monday. I went and installed it. I ran the engine, ran the plane, and everything worked perfectly. The next day, Keenan had some testing with the local school because Quebec has now mandated that even homeschool children do the ministerial exams. So Keenan had those exams he had to do for grade 6. But Kelsey and I, we took off at about 20 after 6 in the morning and we flew north. And we landed in the little village of La Belle-sur-Cavillon, Francophone village. And the very first person we met who gave us a ride into the village, his name was Benjamin. And it was interesting when we got talking, Benjamin, he said, so why did you come up here? And so I told him, and I shared Christ with him. He said, you came all the way up here just for that. I said, yep, yeah, this is the only reason we came up here. We're definitely not coming up here on vacation. No, I didn't say that. But I said, yes, sir, this is the only reason we came up. I said, because Christ has saved us. He's given us hope for eternity. I said, he's forgiven our sins. And we want you to be able to know God through Jesus Christ personally as well. And he said, you know, he said, I just came up from Montreal yesterday. He said, I came up and I just started work today on the helicopter, on the surveying for precious, for minerals, I guess, the minerals they use, or I think they call them minerals in the battery production. He said, we're surveying. He said, I look after the survey equipment in the helicopter. I said, that's really neat. He says, my first day. I said, are you enjoying your job so far? He said, well, so far, so good. It was 8:30 in the morning, so I said, that's good. He gave us a ride into town, and he said, you know, he said, it's interesting you come today. He said, just before leaving Montreal, I bought a Bible. He said, I've got a lot of questions. You know, when I heard that, I kind of realized why the Lord had closed the door the week before on the Friday. Because, you know, if we hadn't been up there that particular day, we'd never have met Benjamin. Who knows if maybe our closed door, when the Spirit suffered us not because of the attitude indicator, the suction gauge, the vacuum pump going, maybe the Lord had closed that door just so we could be able to have a divine appointment with Benjamin. You know, I think about that. I think about that in Macedonia and in Achaia, this region included such cities as Philippi. You're familiar with Philippi and Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and Corinth. You may recall that in Athens, they They lived in great fear and superstition just to have their bases covered, so to speak. Acts 17 tells us that Paul found there an altar that was erected with an inscription to the unknown God. Many are seeking. Sometimes they might not even know exactly what they're seeking for, but many are seeking. Then there was others, such as the Philippian jailer and his family, who didn't realize they were in need of spiritual help until something catastrophic took place. And they witnessed the power of Christ in the lives of his servants and the lives of the Apostle Paul and Silas. No doubt the Philippian jailer, probably, I would imagine, probably an individual, maybe hardened, tough individual, might have seemed like an unlikely candidate for the gospel. But God placed Paul and Silas there at a moment in time to help bring some needy people to the Savior, to the gospel. Reminds me of Romans chapter 10 and verses 13 and 14. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The Macedonian call is a call for help. And whether we realize it or not, whether we recognize it or not, the lost around us are in need of your help. The lost around us are in need of your help. Will you point them to the Savior? Will you help them find the Savior? And will you present to them their eternal need? How will you be involved in helping for the cause of the gospel? The Macedonian not only is a call for help, but I want to share something else with you. The Macedonian call is heard when we are actively listening. The Macedonian call is heard when we are actively listening. Notice in the verses leading up to our text that Paul was not sitting still. Paul wasn't just sitting on his rocker waiting. He was actively serving. He was seeking to find open doors, even seeking to go places where, unfortunately, he was not permitted to go for whatever reason. But he was looking for doors of service. He was preaching. He was ready to serve, ready to speak for the Lord. And yes, he encountered closed doors even while he was seeking to find open doors. But he was actively listening. Paul was desirous that the Lord would guide his steps, desiring that the Lord would use him wherever he desired. And it was at this moment in time that Paul received this Macedonian call for help. And he answered the call. If I think about Isaiah, you might recall Isaiah in the Old Testament, who experienced the Lord's leading as he too was actively listening. And Isaiah 30 and verse 21 tells us, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." You know, in the world we live in today, everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. Even sometimes you say, "Hey, can we have you over for a meal someday?" "Oh, really busy. Don't really have much time. Don't really have any evenings that are free." Do you encounter that as well here? So you understand. You know, I find everybody's busy. You know, another thing I find really interesting, wherever you go, whether it be in a store, in a gas station, no matter where you go, have you noticed how people don't want to have silence? People are almost like people are afraid of silence. There always is music going somewhere. I find it really interesting. Sometimes I think, Lord, I don't want to be so busy listening to other stuff, listening to maybe my own desires, that I miss out on your call to service. I wonder sometimes how many times we miss hearing God's still small voice to lead us, to prompt us, to convict us, because we're too busy listening in the wrong places. Won't you listen to God's still small voice and share the gospel with those who are eternally lost? The Macedonian call is a call for help. The Macedonian call is heard when we are actively listening. The Macedonian call is also heard when we are actively serving. You know, one thing I like about the book of Acts, just as its name, is filled with action. It's action-packed. And I enjoy action. We enjoy being able to be active in the Lord's service. But it's interesting, in these same three verses, in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 8, we can clearly see the verses leading up to our text, but we can clearly see in these verses that we're just referencing, we can see that Paul and those who were traveling with him, they were active. They were busy in the Lord's service. They were actively serving. They were also actively listening, seeking to spread the gospel, but they were actively serving. And Paul is in the midst here of his second missionary journey. And he had already visited churches in Syria and in Cilicia. His goal was to be able to encourage the believers and to build the churches up. He also traveled to Derbe, the Bible says here, and to Lystra and to Phrygia and to Galatia. And it seems that he had other plans too, as the Lord would lead, to go into Asia. He was actively serving. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, did not permit him to go to Asia, but led him to go to Macedonia. I've heard it said before, you cannot steer a parked car. You cannot steer a parked car. In a similar sense, the Lord cannot steer you if you are not already in motion for him. I'm reminded of what Abraham's servant said. You recall when Abraham sent his servant to go find a wife for Isaac? He went to the village where Abraham's family lived, and he prayed for the Lord to guide him. He prayed very specifically. He asked that the young lady that would come, and the young lady who the Lord had chosen to be bride for Isaac, he prayed the young lady, when she would come to the well, that he would ask a drink of her, and she would offer as well to give water to the camels. Upon meeting Rebekah, she offered to draw water for the camels. And in Genesis 24:27, Abraham's servant says the classic words, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." I being in the way, the Lord led me. You know, Abraham's servant was actively serving in the right way. He had gone to the village where Abraham had instructed him. He had gone to the place where Abraham said to go to find a wife for Isaac. And God clearly led him. Isn't it a delight to be able to look back at times and seasons in our lives? To be able to look back and say, wow, I can see the Lord's guiding clearly in those situations, in that circumstance, in our life, in that season of life. Even if it means our plans change, sometimes you say, well, we think we have our plans, and we think we know what we're doing, but the Lord steers us. And sometimes those plans don't always turn out as we might have foreseen, but as we look back, we say, wow, we can see that it was the Lord leading, and what a tremendous blessing to have been able to be testimony to that. You know, in the Lord's service today, there's no place for spectators. You folks are familiar with sports. I'm not. I must confess, I am not a sports fan at all. I don't follow sports whatsoever, but I do know that there's players and there's spectators. And I, from my understanding, if it weren't for the spectators, wouldn't be as much inflow of revenue for to keep everything going for the players. But you know, in the Lord's service, there's not a place just for spectators. The Lord desires for each one of us to be involved, to actively be involved in His service. Sadly, I've heard a statistic, even in the area of missions, recently, I've heard people recently say, and praise the Lord for this, missions giving is up in several churches, and many faith promise offerings has been going up, but sadly, the going is down. The going, responding to the Lord's call, is down. Can I encourage you today not to stand on the sidelines? You know, if you're maybe not very active as a sports player like me, maybe in a sports game the place for you is in as a spectator. But in the Lord's service, can I encourage you not to just be a spectator? Be actively involved in the Lord's service. You know, like the testimony this morning of that gentleman at his work. What a blessing! Be active in the Lord's service. See the needs, see those who need help. Even if they don't realize they need help, they do, because they need a Savior. Not only is the Macedonian call a call for help, it is also a call that's heard when we are actively listening and when we're actively serving. But when you hear a Macedonian call, expect to go. When you hear a Macedonian call, expect to go. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, what does it tell us? There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Paul received this call to come over into Macedonia and help us. The Bible tells us in the very next verse what his response was. His answering the call was immediately. It says in verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Paul believed that the Lord had called him, and he went. He didn't wait around. He didn't consult with others if it was really the best of ideas or not. He went immediately. I remember when our kids were quite small, we taught them numerous times, but we would remind them that true obedience was the first time with a good attitude. True obedience was the first time with a good attitude. You know, your call might not necessarily be as far as Macedonia, but your call might be to go and share the gospel with your lost neighbor. It might be to go and witness to a lost coworker, or perhaps a lost classmate. It might be to share the gospel once again with a lost family member. Maybe the Lord is in the process of calling one of you to serve Him, even as a missionary in a different part of the world. But whatever the call is, can I encourage you to answer immediately, as the Apostle Paul did? Heard the story, true story of a gentleman who, when he was younger, when he was, I believe, in his 20s, early 20s, he believed the Lord was calling him into missions. And he ignored that call. He ignored the call. He served faithfully in his local church, but I believe it was at 80. He looked back and his testimony shared how ashamed he was, but also the regret he had for not having stepped out by faith and been obedient to the call of the Lord that he had heard when he was in his early 20s. I don't know what that call might look like in your life for serving him, whether it's across the street to a neighbor, across the floor to a colleague, or across the ocean to an unreached people group. But whatever the call is, answer God's call. Answer God's call. One thing we don't always like to think about, but it's clear here in the account given of Paul's ministry in Macedonia, but when you accept a Macedonian call, expect opposition. Expect opposition. You know, probably not many of us, if we were to take a little survey this morning, probably not many of us would say that we like opposition. Probably not many of us would say that we like trials. Because usually we like it when things are smooth sailing, when things are going well. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he answered the call to go into Macedonia, he faced a lot of opposition. And it started at his very first stop. He faced a lot of opposition. For the Apostle Paul, simply accepting God's call, it did not mean smooth sailing for him. You might consider what happened after the Apostle Paul accepted the Macedonian call and they went into Macedonia. In Acts 16, just after our text, Paul was imprisoned in Philippi. In Acts 17, the Bible tells us that there was an uproar in Thessalonica after Paul's preaching, which resulted in the Apostle Paul having had to be sent away secretly. In Berea, a little later in Acts 17, some people came from Thessalonica to stir up the folks of Berea against the Apostle Paul. And again, in Berea, he had to be sent away secretly. Towards the end of Acts 17, people mocked the Apostle Paul. And in chapter 18, in Corinth, Paul was pulled in and questioned by the governor due to complaints from the Jews. When you accept a Macedonian call, expect opposition. It's interesting, though, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, when he wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he wrote of the great door of ministry that the Lord had opened for him, even in the face of opposition. For he said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." And listen to the next five words. "And there are many adversaries." And there are many adversaries. I want to ask this morning, are you bold for the Lord, even in the midst of opposition? You know, we like our comfort, do we not? We like our comfort. We like to be accepted. But just like the Lord said, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." The eternity of men's souls is of much, much greater importance, either than our comfort or than the acceptance of peers and friends. Lastly, when you accept a Macedonian call, expect God to do great things. When you accept a Macedonian call, expect God to do great things. I believe it was William Carey who said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." William Carey labored many years even before he saw the first convert in India. But for the Apostle Paul, God worked in amazing ways through the Apostle Paul during his ministry in Macedonia and in Achaia. Just reflect on a few. We reflected upon some of the trials and that he endured, that he went through. But just reflect upon a few of the examples of God's working through the Apostle Paul and those to whom he ministered. In Philippi, the jailer and his family were saved, according to Acts 16. Imagine that. Being imprisoned after having preached the gospel. Being imprisoned. And then the jailer himself. During that earthquake, the jailer himself comes and asks, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The Bible says that he took them to his home and washed their wounds and says that the family believed and were baptized. What a tremendous blessing. I don't know for certain, but I think for the Apostle Paul, I think he probably would have looked upon even the trial of being in prison as a very light affliction for the joy of souls that were saved. In Thessalonica, in Acts chapter 17, the very next chapter, we're told that some Jews believed. It also says a great number of Greeks believed, and several of the chief women of Thessalonica too. And later in chapter 17, the Bible tells us that the believers of Berea received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. And later it says that many of them believed. It was challenging for the Apostle Paul when in Thessalonica he had to be sent away secretly because of the crowd and because of those that were seeking to do him harm. In Berea, the same thing, as those folks from Thessalonica came to stir up the crowd. But what a tremendous blessing the Lord allowed through after the preaching of his word. In Acts chapter 18, in Corinth, the chief ruler of the synagogue with all his house believed on the Lord. And many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. In verse 10, the Lord spoke to Paul in another vision that he had much people in that city. The Lord was doing great things through the Apostle Paul. People were ready to receive the word of truth. When I think about that, I think about Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. "So shall thy word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 speaks to us of the Lord as he who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, I wonder today, this morning, how are you helping in the spread of the gospel? How are you helping in the spread of the gospel? People all around need our help. People all around need the help to be presented with the gospel, to be presented with Christ. I wonder, how are you helping in the cause of the gospel? Are you actively listening? Are you actively serving? Are you willing to go to those who are lost, even in spite of the opposition? I pray that the Lord accomplishes great things through you folks here at Corinth Baptist Church and through all of the missionaries that you support. I pray that the Lord accomplishes great things through each one of us in His harvest as we step out in obedience to His call. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of obedience and faith of the Apostle Paul in stepping out by faith, obedient to the call that you had given to help. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be obedient to this same call. Lord, I pray you would help each one of us, Lord, to be active in serving, but also active in listening. Be attentive, Lord, to your prompting. Lord, I pray that we would be bold, we'd be courageous to speak your truth, to speak your name. Lord, even in this world that is more and more hostile to you, Lord, but they need you. And Lord, surely the eternity of men's souls is of much greater value either than our comfort or than the acceptance of our peers or friends. Lord, I pray that we would each one be obedient to your call to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.